How many build out the hello card on your iPhone? Anybody beside me? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, great. It's really not that hard. I did it. I'm 65, and I did it. And you know what's cool at the end of it? When you do it, it goes, success. I'm like, yeah, success. I made it. I did it. And it had a check mark. I'm like, that's awesome. So if you're here for the first time, get on your phone, text 22383, and then hello to that number, and you'll get the prompt. It's pretty cool. Hey, I got with me today my backpack. I don't go anywhere without this. Some guys carry a man bag. It's too close to a purse for me. And my buddy Dave and I, we know what we're talking about. I'm not going to bring that up. But I carry a backpack. And I just want you to know that a backpack is a critical item for what the Fearless Women's Ministry is doing. And I wanted to bring it to your attention because we're putting together a number of them for children that are in need. And today, not really the last Sunday, we'll go to the next Sunday, but we need a bunch more backpacks. So go to the store, get one, and here are some of the items. You can stop at the foyer. We need paper towels, packs of multicolor construction paper, reams of copy paper, thin dry erase markers, sandwich Ziploc bags, large bottle of hand sanitizer, and Clorox wipes. And we're going to fill those bags with all of these other items and then give them to the children that are in need. Wouldn't that be cool? Now, I heard that there was a church in our area that's doing 1,500 of them. Now, we can't do 1,500. We don't have that many people nor those resources, but we can do what we can do. Let's try to hit 25, all right? Let's try our 30. We have 30 names, so let's try to get those 30 families filled up with all the necessities that they need for school. Would that be good?
Yes.
All right, so will you participate and see Amy and who else back there? I'm not sure, but let me give this to you. This is heavy, and I don't want to carry this around. I just wanted to use it as an illustration. So how's everybody doing?
Good.
Sunday's a great day, right?
Yes.
I am so happy to see all of you. When I see you walking up through the parking lot, I'm like, yo, this is my friends. And I was so happy to see Owen today because we've been praying for Owen. He was at the Rainbows Children's and Babies Hospital. And Mom was standing in faith, but Morgan was just like crying out because, you know, when your baby's not feeling well, you're like, whoa, right? But God is good all the time, right? And so we're thankful for that. And so many others that are fighting the good fight of faith. And Sheila, our hearts go out to you. I don't know where you're at. Where's Sheila? There she is. Buried her mom this week. We just bless you. And there's a new family here today. Well, a new half a family, and that's Paula Maruna. She hasn't been here for like months because she's been rehabilitating. And Paula, it's great to see you. And how difficult is it for you to stand up with those knees? Okay, you can do it. So stand up. Look at her. Whoa. All right. Welcome back. A double knee replacement, and that's not easy. You know, sometimes I got my originals, and it's not easy getting up sometimes. And so we're just glad to see everybody. We really are. You guys brighten our day, and thank you for your support and patience and ministry. You know, we're really reaching out, and Avon today is going to be incredible. A lot of our staff are out there already. A lot of the people are already out there. And so if you would like to join us at 12, well, I won't be there. I'm going to Valley View. But, you know, just come out and be a part of it and just support it and create the energy and the excitement and welcoming new families. And we sent out 7,500 invitations within a two-mile radius. And we're just hoping that at least a quarter of 1% would show up. That would be 15 new families. Wouldn't that be great? We want to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ and let them know that God has a great plan for their life, right? How many know God has a great plan for your life? Whoa, yeah. Let's give Jesus a big hand. Amen. God, you have a great plan for our life. Woo! Yeah. But you know, sometimes our life doesn't go the way we want it to go. Have you ever been there? You think, what in the world's going on? I messed up or somebody else messed up and it messed up me. Your mess up messed me up. And that happens a lot. But you know, there's a real enemy out there. And the enemy of our soul not only wants to take us out, but he wants to steal from us what rightfully is ours. And you and I, as God's people, have a right to an inheritance. God has given to us a covenant that we could raise our families in righteousness and wholeness. And we don't have to succumb to the world's identity and the culture of this age that is stealing from people all the goodness of our humanity. God wants to invest in us. And so I have a little story I want to share with you this morning. So if you can be patient with me. And many people have never heard of Naboth. Have you ever heard of Naboth in the Bible? I got about six people that have heard about Naboth. So Naboth is a man in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 21 who owned a particular vineyard. I mean, anybody know what a vineyard is? Yeah, grapes, all of those kind of things. If you live out in Avon area, you know a lot about the about grape vineyards. He owned this vineyard, and it was very fruitful. And the king, Ahab, had his property right next door to Naboth's property. So he knocked on Naboth's door one day and said, I want your vineyard. And Naboth said, well, I'm sorry, but it's, may I have my not for sale sign? It's not for sale. You may have read the song, the sign wrong, but it's not for sale. Normally when we see a for sale sign, we rarely ever see not for sale. But I'm going to suggest that some of us as Christians need to put one of these up. Yes. Not for sale. Because it seems like today everything has a price. Everything can be bought. People are bought. Elections are bought. Come on. Businesses are bought. Zoning is bought in local municipalities. Everybody has a price. But Naboth said, my vineyard's not for sale. And so the king said, look, I'm the king. I want your vineyard. And Naboth said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sell to you what is rightfully mine and has become an inheritance to me by my ancestors. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 25, it was forbidden. Whatever you received as an inheritance should never be sold. How many know that you and I have inherited a great salvation? Did you know that? That means there's a not for sale sign on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know if you have somebody next to you, but look at him and say, I'm not for sale. If you go with me to 1 Kings chapter 21, I want to read the first three verses to give you a background on this, and then we're going to talk about it for a minute. Is that okay? All right. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Just like I told you, next verse. So Ahab spoke to Naboth saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden. Now he inherited as a vineyard. Vineyards produce grapes. Grapes are used to produce wine. Wine is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But the king wanted to turn the vineyard that was to produce the Spirit into a vegetable garden. Change its purpose. Alter its destiny. Rearrange its creation and intent of God. Watch this. Because it is near, next to my house, for it will give you, I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if it seems good to you, I'll give you its worth in money. Verse 3. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers to you. In other words, it's not for sale. Well, this didn't necessarily please King Ahab. And we'll see what happens here in a few minutes. But I want you to know that just because you're the king doesn't mean that you have the authority. Because when King Ahab went home, he was so depressed and so sad that his wife said, what is wrong with you? Her name was Jezebel. Everybody say Jezebel. See, everybody likes to talk about Jezebel in the church. We've defined her as somebody that wears excessive makeup. Wrong. I wish to God that's all she was. Jezebel represents something with great consequence in this generation. She said, what's wrong, Ahab? He said, I wanted this vineyard. He wouldn't sell it to me, and now I'm depressed. She said, what? Who is this man that won't sell you the vineyard? He said, Naboth. He's right over here. She said, I'll take care of it. So here's what she did. She went to the city elders and told them that she wanted all of them to bring false accusation against Naboth publicly, and then, because false accusation would equal blaspheme against God, take him outside of the city and stone him. So guess what the city elders did? Exactly what Jezebel wanted. They did just that and ended up killing Naboth. She came home after his murder and said, hey, Kingy, you wanted the vineyard? There it is. Take it. I took care of Naboth. Now, the whole concept here of this story has an implication in our modern era, because our inheritance is not for sale as a Christian. But if you look around today, it's being compromised on every side. We have people professing to be Christian and yet don't even know basic theology or doctrine. Politicians that want to court the evangelical vote, that might even come to a church on Sunday and preach their agenda. In other words, Naboth said this, whatever you are offering is not worth at any price to buy that which I received by my inheritance. Why was that? Because Matthew 7, 6 says this, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now let's just back up for a minute. What was Ahab after? A vineyard. Oh, by the way, did you know what Naboth's name means? Fruit. Now, that's an interesting scripture, isn't it? In my mind, it comes immediately when I think of someone's name meaning fruit. And that's found in John 15 in verse 16. And in John 15 in verse 16, it tells us, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. And this is the reason why I've chosen you, that you would bear fruit. You would go and bear fruit and bear much fruit. So see, as Christians, we're not only saved to go to heaven, but on the interim, we're to be harvested. There is to be fruit coming from our life. What's fruit? Fruit is the evidence of the vine. Fruit is what produced as a result of the relationship with the vine. John the Baptist said, we look for fruits of repentance. Jesus said this, you could tell a tree by its fruit. Jesus wanted us all to bear much fruit. So if you and I are to be fruit bearers as believers, it is the enemy of this world who wants to do what? He wants that vineyard. He'll let you live. Just give me your fruitfulness. He'll let you keep going to church. Just give me your fruitfulness. Fruit, ladies and gentlemen, is the evidence of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at this, I have to say, don't sell out your tomorrow with God for a false promise offered in your today. Do not sell out your tomorrow with God for a false promise that's been offered today. Because you know what? many people are going to tempt you to compromise. When the enemy comes and offers a price for your soul, you've got to get up the sign and say, I'm not for sale. I don't care how influential you are. I don't care what credentials you have. It matters not to me if you twist the scriptures, preacher. I'm not for sale. Ladies and gentlemen, understand something, King Ahab, he might have been sitting in the throne and had the authority, but Jezebel had the pen in her hand. And there is a spirit in this world that has a pen in its hand that will manipulate behind the scenes, who will orchestrate with arguments, speculations, and the wranglings of men, and the discussions, and the compromises, to do what? To take the fruitfulness out of Naboth's life. To take fruitfulness out of the church's life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. We as Christians ought to be marked with kindness to the poor. We ought to be marked with those that do good works unto those that are without. Well, we ought to clothe the naked. We ought to visit the prisoner. It ought to be fruits of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But there is a Jezebel present. But I just have to tell you, I'm not for sale. I read an article this week in Yahoo News, and I don't know who wrote it, but is talking about the changing evangelical. And it talked about it's time to get over it. What's wrong with this party is the religious right. What's wrong with this nation is the religious right. The extremists that don't agree with same-sex marriage, that don't agree with euthanasia, that don't agree with the political left and the liberalism of this nation, that don't agree, that you ought to get over it. It's time for you to adjust, to live in the 21st century. But I've just got to tell you, I'm not for sale. Right. Amen. And it matters not how you think and view me. It really doesn't matter. I'm not trying to build a big church. I'm trying to build big people and to get them into a big heaven. And we cannot, at this point in our lives and this time in which we live, compromise our vineyards. You see, there's an illustration about the ringtail monkey in Africa. Have you ever heard of the ringtail monkey? Some of you have. The Zulu tribe are amazing warriors. And they love ringtail monkey. It's a great delicacy. But those doggone ringtail monkeys are hard to catch. They're very agile, very quick, and they can get up a tree in a lickety-split second. So just about the time you go to grab them, boom, they're gone. Ah, the Zulu mine. You know what they did? They took a coconut and they drilled a very small hole in the top and poured cooked rice inside the coconut. On the other side, they drilled two holes and tied a rope through it, tied it around the base of the tree, and they laid the coconut on the ground. Ha, guess what happened? Those ringtail monkeys came down and went, cooked rice. They grabbed that coconut, put their hand inside that coconut, grabbed the rice. They got a hold of it. But guess what? When they tried to pull their hand out of the hole, the hole was big enough to get their hand in, but not big enough to allow their fist to come out. Now here's the ringtail monkey, like the generation we serve. There are holes being drilled in seductive places for us to get our hand in, and we grab the rice and we're not willing to let go to get our hand out. So what did the monkey do? The monkey ran up to the tree when they saw the Zulus coming, just like they always do. But guess what? The rope was tied to the coconut, which was attached to his fisted hand inside the coconut, holding on to the rice and not willing to let go. The rope pulled him back down and he fell to the ground. Oh boy, right up back up to the tree they went. Brrr, boom, back down to the ground again. And the Zulu would wait until they got tired. And they'd be down on the ground. They'd walk over and with a stick, boop, pop them on the head. And they had monkey with rice for dinner. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there saying, just tell the monkey to let go of the rice. But let me ask this question. How many of us in this hour, holding on to things that even though it's killing us, our spouse, our children, wrecking a generation, causing havoc in a community, in a local church, etc., 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 we get hold of something and we won't let it go, even if it's killing us. We refuse to let it go. And the enemy has created a seduction because he knows that we'll put our hand full of rice and we won't let it go. It's only a matter of time before you and I wear out and he bops us on the head. And prayerfully, he doesn't have ringtail Christian for dinner. You know, there's too many in this generation today that are on sale. They're on sale. They haven't been sold. They're on sale. They're on sale, meaning I'm open. Give me the right price, I'm open. I need more peace. I need more joy. I need more sanctity of life. I need more direction. I want more money. I need more friends. I need a man. I need a woman. I need. And whatever the price is, if it's paid, I'll be willing to sell. I'm on sale. First Kings chapter 21, verse 7, if you can put it up there, please. I'd like for you to see the rest of this story. Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "Now, you now exercise authority over all Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And she wrote letters to Ahab's name, in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city of Naboth. She wrote in the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with a high honor among the people." That's interesting, isn't it? She first set him up for honor. If I had time, I'd like to preach right there for a minute or two, but I'm going to let that go. And Holy Spirit will have to tell you what that's doing to a generation who thinks they're okay. Because they've been accepted by people of honor. They're now included in conferences, and they get recognition by lots of people. They might even be on television programs. "Proclaim the fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people." Next verse, please. "And seat two men, scoundrels, before them to bear witness against him, saying, 'You blasphemed God and the king,' and then take him out and stone him that he may die." The men of the city, the elders and the nobles were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, and as it was written in the letters which had sent to them. And Naboth was seated with high honor among the people. And it tells us that there the two men brought false witness against him, and they took him out and stoned him, and he died. Remember, once your soul has been sold, unless it's bought back, you can never fulfill the destiny that God has for your life. You know, you got to get up in the morning and say, "Others may, but I will not. Others might, but I will not. Let the whole Christian community do it, but I'm not. Let all the big preachers say it's okay, but I'm not. Others may, but I may not." See, political promises come offering temporary relief, but don't be bought. When challenged by your friends to compromise your faith in Christ for tolerance and political correctness, shout, "I'm not for sale." When worldly temptations and justifying arguments attempt to compromise your holiness and separated lifestyle, shout, "I'm not for sale." There's four things in my life that are not for sale, probably more, but let me just share with you those four. Number one, salvation. Number two, scripture. Number three, separation. And number four, my shout. It's interesting, I was with friends for dinner this week and they were sharing with me about the identity of our church, asking them where they go, and they mentioned, this is where we go to church, and they said, oh, that's that hand-raising church. I remember people said to me, oh, that's that clown church. That's because the women wore makeup. Oh, that's that, hey, I heard your church has a dance floor in it. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, is that where you guys shout to the Lord and now you're a hand-raising church? Yeah, that's us. There is a spirit behind the scene, represented by Jezebel, the king's wife, who is manipulating behind your life to get you what is not for sale. Number one, salvation. You know, we live in a time of easy believism. Partial faith. Carnal appetite rules today. 1 Peter 1, 18-19, know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here's what Jesus said in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Chrislam does not exist. I'm sorry, Rick Warren is wrong. We do not worship the same God. And I don't care how many books you sell, or how influential you are, how many people know your name, I'm not for sale. And you might go to your conference, and you might get on your TV program and say, I'm for sale for the right price. But you're not going to find that here. There's no price, right? Because it's our inheritance. It's our precious salvation. It is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, I cannot compromise that. It is too worthy of our life's commitment. See, when they try to change the gospel and tell you there's another way to heaven, when they try to change the gospel and say all you've got to be is a good person, when they try to change the gospel and tell you there are many ways up the mountain, you need to shout with all your might, it's not for sale. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are born again. Number two, scripture. Denying its infallibility, cultures redefining it, preachers are ignoring it and twisting it. And that's all some Christians need. They just need one preacher to tell them it's all right. That's all they need. But 2 Corinthians 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Listen, Scripture's not always going to be popular with this generation. I know that. But I'm not going to apologize for it. But here's the key. As Christians, we don't slam people with Scripture. We love them with the eternal love of God and let them know that there's nothing they can do to change our love toward them. When they try to change the Word of God and make it of no effect, tell them it's not for sale. What about separation? Too many redefine the boundaries of holiness and worldliness. Too many say to win them, we must become like them. Now, I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm not talking about a style of clothing or you got a tattoo on your neck with a butterfly. You want a butterfly on your neck that never flies again? Put it on there. I don't care. The only way it's going to fly is if you jump off a wall or something. But it's not flying. It's there and it's like... It's okay. I'm not against that. You want to do that? That's up to you. That's not what I'm talking about. But we don't have to become like them to win them. Look, folks, I look at today's metamorphosis of the church that I knew. And I think either I am out of touch or we are under a Jezebel attack. I don't know which it is. I sometimes think that I'm out of touch, and other times I'm convinced that, no, I'm not out of touch because I know Jesus, I know the Holy Spirit, I know who He is, and I'm not for sale. But then I look around, I see so many of my friends selling out. And the argument is, this is the 21st century. Get with it, Caton. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's the same God in the 19th century as He was in the 20th century, as He will be in the 21st century. Here's what 2 Corinthians 6:17 says. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. You know, to be separate, you know what it means in the Bible? It means to mark oneself off others by boundaries. Isn't that something? To be separate from the world is to mark oneself off from others by boundaries. So my boundaries are intact. I am separated unto the Lord, and that I do not cross. You may, but I, others may, but I may not. I don't mean I don't like you anymore, and you're not my friend, and I love you with all my heart, absolutely. But guess what? I am not letting that in my boundaries. And don't punish me for that. Don't look down at me for that. Don't start ridiculing me for that. It's my boundaries. Respect my boundaries. There are times I feel like in order to be accepted, I have to begin doing what other people are doing. You know, so we can, you know, we can accept you. You're one of us. I am one of you. I am part of the human race. I've been redeemed. And I feel separated unto the Lord. Respect that. I don't impose that on you. But I am a testament to that separation. And if it makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry, but guess what? That's what I've chosen to do. I have boundaries around my life. When they say, do what we do, look like we look, act like we act, talk like we do, tell them, I'm not for sale. I'm sorry, I'm just not for sale. And then my shout. Did you know silence has invaded the church? Silence has invaded prayer. You go to a prayer meeting now and you're like, somebody please pray. We're all sitting here just kind of doing nothing. Lift up your voice. You know, I read all through the Bible, it tells, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It's like, well, let's rip that one out of the Bible. We don't want to offend Mr. Big Bucks because if too emotional, you know, that hand-raising church over there, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Why? Because God is good. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He changed me just in time. I can't help it. God is good. And I'm going to praise Him for His goodness. He is so good. I should have been dead 20 million times. But I'm still alive. God is good. He's good all the time. I don't even look around. I'm like, oh, there you are again. Good. Hey, good. I shouldn't call Him God. I should just call Him good. Hey, good. dear good, please help me today. The other morning I was working at Wycliffe Church and we're about $10,000 over the budget. And I said, God, I need a miracle. I got to try to finish this thing. And my son came over and he goes, Dad, we got to do the landscaping. I said, yeah, I know. He said, we don't have any money. I said, don't tell me that. I already know that. But I have a good God. I said, so what do you think it's going to cost? He said, about $800 to $1,000 to get this mulch in here and the stone. I said, he said, what do you want me to do? I said, let's do it. He said, how are we paying for it? I said, I don't know. Honestly, I did. I said, well, we got to do it. I'm not letting people come to church next Sunday out there and they're going to come to mud. That's not going to happen. So I went back to work and I'm painting and doing whatever I have to do. And a guy came walking into the building. He said, Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, yeah. He said, you know what? The Holy Spirit would not let me rest this morning. He said, you get over to that church this morning and you write that church a check for $1,000. It's the truth. It's the truth. He said, I don't know. I just got up. I couldn't. I had to bring this to you today. Can you take it? I said, amen. 2 hours earlier, we're thinking about how are we going to get money for this mulch so we can cover up the dirt. So when people come to the house of God, they, you know, all that. And 2 hours later, I got the check for $1,000. And my son was at the city of Wycliffe, city hall, whatever, trying to get an occupancy permit. And he was working with all that. He came back. He's pulling in while I'm pulling out to go pick up some electrical supplies. We're doing like this. I slowed down. He goes, everything all right? I said, yep. He said, what's happening? I went, here's your $1,000 for the landscaping. He said, shut up. I mean, know that God is good all the time. Amen. He's a good, good Father. It's who He is. The other day, I'm too old to be working out there in construction. Let me tell you. I mean, I'm working like, you know, like I know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I just do it. And a gentleman came over, and he's a contractor, another contractor. He said, Pastor, how's things going? I said, well, he said, how much more do you got to do? I said, I started laughing. I said, about 30 things. He said, tell me what you have. Make a list. I said, okay. So I walked through. I said, we need to do that. We got to put these baseboards on. We got to do this casing on these doors. We need to paint these restrooms. We need, you know, on and on and on. He said, I'm going to send 3 of my men over, and we're going to take care of this for you. I said, you are? He said, yeah, we're going to take care of it for you. This is good soil, and we want to sow into this ministry. I said, amen. I feel a witness. I turned around. I said, God, you are good. So a couple hours later, he came back and checking on his guys that he had sent over, paying for everything. And he said to me, how's it going? I said, well, these guys are amazing. They're fast. They're working circles around me. It took me all day. They didn't half a day. And I said, well, look, I just want to let you know that you give me the invoices for all this material and I'll write you a check. I'm like, Lord, I ain't got no money in that checking account. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm paying for all the materials, too. And I'm talking about hundreds of dollars of stuff. And I'm standing there as a grown man, and I started crying. And I said, look, I'm not crying because of you. I'm crying because my God is good, man. I'm telling you, I didn't know where to do, what to do, and God just shows up and does this. Come on, look at somebody and just say, God is good. A young man came up to me the other day and he said, Pastor, I got to have surgery. Please pray for me. And the doctor found this in my stomach abdomen area. And I'm in a lot of pain. I said, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. And this is a couple of weeks ago. And yesterday, I saw him at a wedding I was at and in Valley View. And I said, hey, I called his name out. I said, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? He said, oh, I didn't tell you, did I? I said, no, what are you about to tell me? He said, I just went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, I don't need surgery. I said, you don't? He goes, no. He said, that thing that was there is shrinking so small, he doesn't understand why, but he said, I don't need surgery. And all the pain's gone. I said, God, you are good. Come on, folks. God is good. Young man came in the other day to do some work over there, and I look at every person that walks through that door as a mission field. I said, God, he's in here for a reason. Let's get him, Holy Spirit. So I asked him, I said, hey, man, are you born again? You know, you serve Jesus? He said, no. I said, you go to church anywhere? No, I don't go to church. I said, okay, okay. So I worked on him all day. I come back, I said, hey, man, how you doing? God's good, isn't he? It's an amazing day. He's like, yeah, all right. I worked on him all day like that. Toward the end of the day, he said, well, I'm done. I'm getting ready to go. And I said, hey, look, before you go, I need to ask you. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You know that God has an incredible plan for your life. And I'm starting to tear up. I don't even know this guy. Holy Spirit was there. He said, you know what? I'm mad at God. And I said, you are? He said, yeah, I'm mad at God because 3 years ago my daughter died. She was only 3 years old. And I don't know why God took my daughter. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you got to help me with this one. Because I know you're good, but I don't understand that either. And we began to minister to him and minister with him. And God opened the door and he prayed the prayer and just found a place of peace in his heart. Countertop guy came in the next day. I said, man, how you doing? I'm all right. I noticed he had two fingers cut off. Another one that was swollen, and it was just like a recent injury. I said, what happened to your hand? He said, I was doing some work on a counter, and I looked away and put my hand through a saw, and my finger went flying. I said, man, that's horrible. That has to hurt. He goes, that ain't all. He said, I just buried my father-in-law. I love that man. I said, man, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, yeah, and my dad, I found him the other day. He committed suicide. He's 80 years old and shot himself in the head in the bed, and I found him. And to top it off, and here's where he starts crying. He said, I had to bury my dog yesterday, and I love my dog. He was with me 15 years, and he pulls out a picture and shows me a picture of his dog. He didn't show me a picture of his dad. He didn't show me a picture of his father-in-law. He showed me a picture of his dog. And I had this great compassion for him, and I said, I am so sorry, but you know what? All dogs go to heaven. I did. I told him all dogs go to heaven, man. I said, you're going to see that dog again. I know you're sitting there going, where's that in the Bible? And I got a chance to pray for him. And I come home that night and tired and my body's sore and driving and walk in the door and he said, how'd it go? And I said, God is good. Because he showed mercy to the hurting today, and he showed grace to those that are bound, and he used me as an opportunity to share the love of Christ today, and I got $1,000 today for the landscaping, and I'm so grateful for what God has done. And I heard Owen came home from the hospital, and I asked Morgan, are we going to dedicate him Sunday? She said yes, and I said, God, you're so good. You're so good. So when they attempt to silence your praise, tell them it's not for sale. My praise is not for sale. And before the rocks cry out, I'm going to praise God and tell everybody how good he is, because he's a faithful God, a loving God. And your salvation is precious. Don't sell out. The scriptures from the Word of God are precious. Don't sell out. Your separated lifestyle is precious. Don't sell out. And your shout unto the Lord, he is worthy of all of our praise. Don't go silent. And as we today prepare to come to the table of the Lord, I think it's so appropriate that we take communion. We take communion together because Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. He said, I did it for you. Can we today say, I'm not for sale, Jesus. And neither what you gave me as eternal life, it's not for sale. Now, as we prepare for this moment, I want to remind you, this is our first time here using these new communion cups. So you have to peel off the top veil of cellophane to get to the wafer. And then under that will be a different color cellophane to get to the juice. Please go ahead and pass them out. If you have problems trying to get it open, do not throw it at the preacher. Okay. Raise your hand and I'll come help you. Okay? All right. God bless you as we pass these out and we give unto the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, today as we remember what Christ has done for us, I want you to hold that emblem in your hand and reflect about how good God has been to you. Even in the difficult times, the dark times, the times when you didn't know what was happening and how God's grace visited you and peace came to you. You know, our hearts are open books before God. And He loves us so much and has a great plan for our life. I want you to know that you're the most important person before me. Thank you so much, Ty. The most important person before me at any given moment is the person that stands before me. When I told Jim that, whose father had just committed suicide, he looked at me and he said, no one has ever said that to me. And I said, well, I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Don't you ever think for one moment that your life doesn't matter or you don't have value. You do. And it's not what you can do or what you can accomplish that gives you value. It's because you were created in God's image, period, underscore. You are a special person. Don't let your failings or mistakes of the past cause you to ever shy away from loving Jesus and pursuing Him with all your heart. How you doing on that cellophane thing? I need help. Is it working okay? Yeah, can you help me, John? You got that one. You got this one. There you go. Okay. I asked you if you all needed help, but I needed help. I think I was talking. I wasn't concentrating. Does everybody have their emblems? Okay, you got it. Let's hold the bread up before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. And Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this bread. Give us this daily bread. Let's break the wafer together and receive it as the broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I want you, when you take the cup today, to think about Naboth. Naboth said, I refuse to sell out the fruit of the vine. I refuse to sell out the Holy Spirit in my life. No matter what influences and arguments are being presented, I'm going to stand true to you, Jesus. So, Father, bless this cup to our bodies now, we ask. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the cup. Thank you, Father. Can we just close our eyes for a minute and can you think of one thing you can be thankful for with God? Just close your eyes and reflect just for a few seconds of one thing you can be thankful for. What God has done for you. And you know, if He's done it once, He'll do it again. Because that's the kind of God we serve. We love you, Father. And we give you honor and praise today. Thank you, Father, for bringing these precious people here this morning. Thank you, Father, that everyone's life is in the hollow of your hand. Touch them. Protect them and empower them. Bless them, I pray. Watch over them. I pray the prayer protection of no accidents, incidents, or mishaps in their life. I pray, O God, the prayer of longevity, that there'll be no premature deaths among us, but we will live out our days according to your praise. I thank you, Father, that you are increasing us on every side, that we would experience more love, more grace, more peace. And Father, even in the natural, that you're meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For this we say thank you. Right now we come in agreement for in about 30 minutes, the inaugural service in Avon at the Cambria Hotel is about to begin. We come in agreement with Pastor Troy and the rest of the team and other congregants who are already there, that people that would come from near and far would come find Jesus. And Lord, that you might be lifted up. Touch that location today and cause it to be a lighthouse to reach out, a place of rescue and care for those that are lost and those that are dying without hope and without help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask if you'll do something with me. No pressure, really. I mean, you don't feel pressure for me as far as giving goes, but I need your financial help. This summer has been a great shortfall in our operational budget, and for various reasons, most people are gone and they forget to give or send it. But we need help with that, and if you will, I'd appreciate it so much. And on the way out, ushers, would you mind having a bag at the door? And you can just take an envelope so you don't forget, because if I dismiss you, you'll get to the door and go, why is he holding that? And you'll forget. But if you can, any contribution will help us. We're about, 14,000 below what I heard, what we need. I don't know how accurate that figure is. I'm just telling you what I was told. But let's believe God to meet the shortfall, right? Amen. Because God is all the, and all the, God is, yes, he is, yes, he is. So thank you for that. Don't forget, Thursday nights at 6 p.m., we have an incredible worship and intercession time that has been literally off the charts. You don't want to miss that time. Come for 5 minutes, come for the 60. But we pray together for many, many things in the world, and it's been extraordinary. I get to do it Wednesday night and Thursday night, which is pretty awesome. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that. I'd love to sit around and talk with you a little bit, but I've got a 45-minute drive. Going to the second service, I'll pass up Avon and say, Lord, bless them as I keep on driving to Valley View. Thank you again. And if you're here for the first time, we have a little video back there. Look at Nancy. Wave at us, Nancy. Everybody to the right of your shoulder. Look at her. She's so cute. Yeah. She's a powerful woman of God. You might want to check out our visitors video. But thanks so much. Live right. Love everybody. Not just somebody. But everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time. God bless. Have a great, glorious Sunday. Great to be with you.